time for the Rider Dynasty podcast. Let's go. Welcome to the Rider Dynasty Podcast with Ryan Bickerstaff, JJ Wenner, and your host, Michael Kloss.
And welcome to the Rider Dynasty Podcast, guys. It is finally here. It's game week. We've been waiting all season, and we finally made it. Now, we hope you're listening to this before the Thursday game between the Packers and Bears. But if not, we still have a ton that we want to cover that you will want to listen to. Now, joining me tonight, you know him, you love him. I don't think that he's going to blink at all on Thursday, Sunday, or maybe Monday nights. That's Ryan Bickerstaff. He's here. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, well, I made sure my dog didn't eat my show notes this week, so I'm back and ready to talk some football.
Did that really happen?
Unfortunately, yes.
Like, you have to tell the story now.
Oh.
You coated in peanut butter, or...
Yeah, it was a little bit of peanut butter. Yeah.
Keep the peanut butter away from the show notes, Ryan. Come on.
Yeah, my laptop looked really delicious to him, and...
Well, good. You learned a valuable lesson. Wonderful. Also, the return of certified athletic trainer, that's Nick Mirabito. He's going to help you set your lineups with the latest injury news. It's your time right now, Nick, and we are all ears, my man.
All right. Well, howdy, Michael. First, I want to say...
Howdy, partner.
yeah, I just wanted to throw a little twist in there this week. First, I want to say sorry I missed last week. Sorry to you guys. Sorry to all the riders out there, but busy schedule with school starting and whatnot, work as well. But man, dude, I'm so pumped for football season. Like, let's get this thing going.
All right. Well, you are forgiven. You just make it up this time. We are, of course, missing the irreplaceable JJ Wenner tonight. That just means that we're going to hold him accountable, and we'll have to get twice the energy, twice the fun from him next week as we tackle week two. So without further ado, let's get into...
Nicked Up!
With athletic trainer Nick Mirabito.
All right, Nick. It's your time, like I said. Cam Newton, he was in a walking boot after playing in a preseason game. Can you give us the update? Is he good to go for week one?
Yeah, Michael. Cam seems to be a full go. I know we were talking with each other when the injury happened a couple weeks ago. And when I first saw that walking boot headline, I immediately went into a panic because I love Cam Newton this year. I think he's going to have a fantastic year. But then looking into it more, I watched the replay. The mechanism really didn't look bad at all. He wasn't limping or anything in that boot. If you saw that Twitter video kind of going around there. I think the boot was just a matter of being extra precautionary in the preseason. And in fact, I'm pretty sure Ron Rivera even said he probably would have continued to play in a regular game. So no need to panic on Cam. The foot is good. The shoulder is great. He's looked great in camp, so I think he's going to have a huge year. A healthy Cam Newton and a confident Cam Newton is a very scary thing.
Well, that's a really good thing to hear. Of course, as we're going through this, you might be a little upset with me here at the end of the pod. Ryan and I are going to stick around. We're going to talk about matchups that we're looking for, and we're also going to hit some sits and starts for everybody. So during that sit or start time, I might have a little foreshadowing that maybe you might not be the happiest with. But we'll keep your segment going. Ryan, kick off that next question so Nick can answer.
Yeah, so it looks like Cam Newton's primed for a big year. AJ Green, on the other hand, hasn't shed his walking boot yet. What's going on with his ankle issues right now?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's not ideal hearing that he hasn't shed the boot yet. So it's fairly obvious he's not going to be playing week one, right? He's not going to practice at all. He's still in the boot. Week two would even surprise me because, as I've talked about repeatedly ad nauseum on this show, there is a progression to full activity, right? You start with getting your strength back, then you move into sport-specific drills, non-contact, and then they kind of put you into contact see how you react, and then you get back to a game. So for all of that to happen before week two would also surprise me. And according to one of the Bengals beat writers, Jeff Hobson, AJ Green is actually going to give an update next week. So maybe that indicates that he'll shed the boot semi-soon and maybe start progressing, since injured athletes don't usually speak to the media. They're not required to. And when this first happened, you know, I mentioned to you guys that I was going to treat AJ Green like he was going to miss three, maybe even four games. And I don't think we've heard anything differently that's changed my opinion on that. I still think when he comes back, he's a wide receiver one. So still show a little bit patience with AJ Green. We'll get another update next week. So we'll see when he gets back.
Yeah, all the people that have been either drafting him in this season or holding him in dynasty leagues, I think that's quite a league winner here towards the even beginning to end of the year. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt really quickly. He underwent sports hernia surgery. Can you tell us how long will he be out? And does it really matter with this suspension where he's returning in week 10 of the regular season because of that Browns bye week?
Michael, I just want you to know really quickly that when I read those words sports hernia in the Google Doc while preparing for this show, I cringed a little bit. I hate those words. I hate them.
Why?
It's like a personal thing for me. I hate the term sports hernia because it is not a hernia. I can't emphasize that enough. Not a hernia. Not in any way, shape, or form. I talked about this injury a little bit before with Trey Burton. It's more properly called athletic pubalgia, or sometimes, because you know the media doesn't like saying that first part of that word, you'll hear it as a core muscle injury. And it's when there's an injury to any of the muscles that insert on the pubic bone, which is why this was initially reported as a groin injury, because the groin muscles originate from that pubic bone.
Ah, shoot. I do remember you saying something with Trey Burton. But man, you go to the news. But again, that's the reason why we have a certified athletic trainer on the pod to not just correct us, but give us that deep information. So my humble apologies, sir.
Well, that's why they pay me the big bucks here, Michael. I will forgive you this time, but next time if this comes up, I will have to hold you accountable, just so you know.
All right. So no sports hernia from now on. I'll just say athletic pugilia baby beluga. Nailed it.
Absolutely. You know, you are so, so close there, Michael. We'll get you there. But anyway, back to business here. Sometimes these injuries can be a little bit tricky, and the vast, vast majority of players come back in a matter of weeks. But we have seen some odd cases that can take much longer. So we'll have to keep an eye out and listen for any updates. But really, the odds are I don't see it impacting Hunt. He'll most likely miss more games because of the suspension than the injury. And as much as obviously we hate the actions that led to that suspension, from a medical standpoint, the suspension actually keeps him or the team from rushing him back too early. So sticking 100% to the medicine, Hunt should be fine.
All right. Moving along then, we got a big one here. Dallas needs some good news, and Amari Cooper, who's been dealing with plantar fasciitis, it's looking like he's ready to go for week one, but is he?
Yeah, so the Cowboys really haven't shown any concern for Cooper, really since the beginning of this injury. I want to say it was almost 3 weeks to like almost a month ago, I think. And look, the plantar fascia on the bottom of your foot, I've talked about this before, plays a big role in maintaining that arch and really stretches and goes under strain during push-off and really can limit a player. And if you don't rest it properly and treat it, it can nag for months on end. So, you know, it really depends on the severity, but I have a hunch that this was never too severe in the first place, and the Cowboys were just being extra cautious from the beginning to make sure that one of their star players didn't have a nagging injury all season. So the other on Monday, Cooper had a full pain-free practice, so he seems good to go. The team feels confident. I wouldn't be too concerned about Amari Cooper from a health standpoint.
All right, so let's keep it moving with just more news on nicked up here. Jerick McKinnon landed on the season-ending IR. Maybe just kind of enlighten us a little bit about his current and future outlook from a medical perspective.
Yeah, so I know, you know, redraft, this isn't too much of a big deal because he hit the season-ending IR, not that IR designated to return. But for all the people out there doing Dynasty listening to this, this is where some of this info can come in. So I remember when we talked about Jerick McKinnon having a setback at the beginning of camp and how that was definitely concerning, considering how long it had been since the surgery. You don't normally see setbacks that late in the process. I don't know exactly what the procedure is going to be on. They haven't given any specifics on that, nor do they have to. So it's really hard to give you guys much specifically on McKinnon. But what I do know is that the 49ers can save $6.2 million if McKinnon isn't on the roster next year. So, you know, with those other backs there, unfortunately for McKinnon, I think this might be a setback that has sealed his fate in San Fran.
All right, Nick.
That's too bad.
It is. He was very promising last year before the knee injury,
definitely.
And this is another tough break for a good player. Nick, can you give us a few quick hitters of players headed to the IR? And don't forget, if you have an IR spot on your roster, get these players stashed there and take a flyer on somebody else. Because once they come back, these will be valuable fantasy assets.
Absolutely, Ryan. So just going down the list here, Jaguars' Alfred Blue went to the IR, kind of opening the door for Reichwell Armstead as Fournette's handcuff. Blue went to the IR where he's eligible to return after week 8. So if you have Leonard Fournette, that might interest you. Houston tight ends Jordan Thomas and Cahale Waring both hit the IR.
Yeah. This was weird.
It was weird. It was really
weird. At the same time.
Yeah, and they so that led the Texans to signing Logan Paulson. Thomas has a fractured rib, and Waring, this is kind of scary, like, looking into this, because he was put on IR and put into the concussion protocol. So to rule him out for 8 weeks because of a concussion, like, really made me raise an eyebrow. Obviously, concussions are really important, but the vast majority resolve in much shorter time than 8 weeks, and every concussion is different, but that just kind of made me raise an eyebrow there. So the next player here, we have N'Keal Harry. He was put on IR with a severe case of turf toe. I didn't see anything about surgery or anything like that, but the IR is probably better for a young player anyway, trying to work their way into the league. You don't want to rush them back too early, especially with a nagging injury like that. He will be designated to return in week 9, but I don't see him playing too big of a role. I think this is going to be a redshirt season for him. And then lastly, Lamar Miller. I know you guys talked about this last week on the pod while I wasn't here, but I just want to hit on it really quickly. I hate speculating on injuries solely on the mechanism, but you know, at first glance when that video came out, I told you guys that it kind of looked like a pretty textbook MCL tear. Hopefully it wasn't an ACL tear as well. And that is what it ended up being, according to the Houston Chronicle there. So look, the athletic trainer in me hates saying this, but from a fantasy perspective, which is what the people are here for, he's going to be a free agent at 29, coming off of a multi-ligament injury, which is much more complicated than a straightforward ACL injury. If you can get anything for him, I think you should do it. I'm a Lamar Miller owner. That's what I'm going to be trying to do. Obviously, I'm rooting for Lamar Miller, right? I want him to do well, come back, but I know the riders out there that are listening are looking for this kind of information. So I would say if you can get anything for Lamar Miller, I would try to do that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know.
Stock is pretty low right now. But Nick, we appreciate it. We will catch you next week again with the latest injury news and perspective, okay?
Anytime, guys. And just forewarning, the Eagles open at home this week, and I will be in the stands.
Okay.
So hopefully I will have a voice for the next pod. I have a track record of losing my voice after those games. But yeah, so I'll talk to you guys next week. Go Birds, baby.
Now, I mean, you're doing this whether you have a voice or not. So however you want to prepare is good for us. We're just kidding. You have an awesome time.
Awesome.
And yeah, and that was
Nicked Up with athletic trainer Nick Mirabito.
And Ryan, now it is time for the news. So let's swing on over to the news desk. So first off, I think that we have to cover the elephant in the room really quickly, right? There's just been a ton of speculation about our two main holdouts in Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon. Zeke might actually be signed by the time that you actually listen to this pod. He's reportedly closing in on a deal that could make him the highest paid running back in the NFL. As we're recording this pod right now, he's just landed in Dallas. So if you want to go see a whole bunch of funny airport video of people trying to take pictures with him on Twitter, go for it right now. But again, as of Tuesday night, he has not put pen to paper as of Tuesday night. Do you think this deal gets done at all before week one, Ryan? And I mean, this is going to be a crazy question as a second part, mm-hmm. is are you starting him with the utmost confidence if he does sign?
I think he will sign before game kicks off. The report I saw earlier was it's supposed to be 6 years, $90 million, which will make him the highest paid running back in the NFL, which is what he wanted.
Some cheddar.
Little bit. So I don't think there's going to be an issue getting pen to paper in the next few days. And while I'm not super confident, he hasn't been with the team all, you know, for the last, how long has it been? He's been in Cabo.
Yeah.
But it's Zeke. Are you really going to take him out of your lineup?
Probably not. It's all speculation up at this point. Just make sure that you're backed up with Tony Pollard, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So then, as we mentioned before, Melvin Gordon, you know, the Chargers GM said, you know, we're done just talking about this until the end of the season. Again, as we just continue to speculate, what do you foresee? He's looking like we're already going to not be there for week one. Then I would kind of look and see now is I would say Eckler definitely has to be in your lineup. You're playing Justin Jackson maybe as a late flex, depending on how deep your, you know, your lineup is. But it's just not looking good for Melvin Gordon here. So those other backups turn into must starts or probably flexes, like in with Justin Jackson. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Eckler is a must start. Even last year, while Melvin Gordon was on the field, Eckler finished as a borderline RB2. So this is a guy who's going to he's gonna be good no matter what. And then Jackson, yeah, I see him as more of a flex option at this point with upside.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it rolling too. Jared Goff actually just signed to a new 4-year deal worth $134 million, according to a source.
$110 million guaranteed.
Geez. So that's a great sign for the Rams to keep him around for a little while. That actually just broke right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about another quarterback. Not as exciting, but possibly could be Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was named the starter in Miami. We haven't talked about this since our last pod. So would you say this is an endorsement of Fitzpatrick's ability or an indictment on Josh Rosen's? Because I know I've got some ideas for that too.
I have to say it's an indictment on Josh Rosen. I mean, you bring the guy in, you spend a second round pick on him to trade him from Arizona, and you're giving the keys to the offense to, you know, let's see, 37-year-old journeyman, backup caliber quarterback. It shows that Rosen clearly isn't ready for the NFL, and he might never be.
I always kind of thought this move was just odd. Like, you know, you're going after a guy who, when, you know, he was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals and essentially thrown out there. Like, I can just even point to some time, like during the Denver game, like you're going to get experience, but it was just like insult to injury, right?
Oh yeah.
And I really think they do like Fitzmagic here. And I think that they, you know, that he can at least go out there, start the season. Like, I mean, do you really want to start Josh Rosen against, what is it, Baltimore in week one?
No.
I mean, come on. Like, the coaching staff might be doing him a little bit of favor as much as he's been beaten down these last, the last year. So even just give him a little bit of confidence to be on an NFL team and not feel like that every single pass has to be perfect. And like his mistakes are just going to be, of course, again, on the big screen. I kind of like this move by starting Ryan Fitzpatrick just to let Josh Rosen have a little bit of a break. I'd probably say Fitzpatrick's going to be a starter for at least the first six games too. I don't know if what would be your thought on that?
I could see him keeping the starting job until he has one of his epic, you know, signature Fitzmagic games where
yeah, right.
He, you know, it's four interceptions and two fumbles and, you know, loses the game in epic fashion. That might be the time to make the switch to Rosen.
All right. Let's keep it going.
All right.
Houston is involved in a lot of trade news, and I ordered it this way for a reason. So Houston sends two firsts and a second to Miami for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, giving Deshaun Watson some much-needed protection at left tackle and depth at receiver. Who would you say wins this trade?
Well, you know, picks are nice, but it's important to remember that they don't always pan out. And Laremy Tunsil is one of the game's better left tackles, and this is already proven. Kenny Stills adds solid depth to a receivers group that needed it.
Yeah.
And Tunsil's presence is, it's going to cause a ripple effect in that offense. It's going to go a long way towards solidifying the O-line in general, which will keep Deshaun Watson on his feet, and it's going to help the run game as well. So I really like this trade for Houston, even though they did give up a lot. Now on Miami's side, they're in the middle of a rebuild. It's pretty obvious. And they were going to be a bad team this year with or without Laremy Tunsil. So the way I see it is, you know, while I already said that picks don't always pan out, the more draft capital you have, the more opportunities to find building blocks for your team you have. So
yeah,
it's going to be a rough season for the Dolphins and Dolphin fans, but I think both teams come out as winners in this scenario, but the short term is obviously Houston.
62 sacks for Houston that they gave up last year. So Tunsil will be very welcome there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, you have to protect your guy. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he is a franchise quarterback. He can win you a Super Bowl. He has a championship pedigree coming from Clemson. You need to keep that guy healthy. And, you know, like, you don't want him to pull Andrew Luck when he's 29.
Right.
And of course, the other trade that Houston was involved in was Jadeveon Clowney, who was traded to the Seahawks for a half-eaten turkey sandwich.
What? Couldn't even get a full-eaten turkey sandwich.
Right? Okay. You know, but in all seriousness, they got Jacob Martin, Barkevious Mingo, a first-round bust, and a third-round pick. So, Michael, Seattle clearly won this trade, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not even feeling Houston's side here. What is Bill O'Brien doing? I mean, like, he's wearing too many hats for this organization. He's getting just beat up in the court of public opinion just for this trade. I mean, I really think this sets up Clowney to be paid in Seattle much later. I would say Mingo and Martin are just really throwaway players, which makes this trade even worse, right? Would say I like Bill O'Brien as a head coach, but GM, there is a lot to be desired there. Looking at this trade and just kind of thinking about it, I wonder, my biggest question is, like, how do you trade a player or an asset, a person, however you want to frame this, right? Just like Jadeveon Clowney, and then not receive O-line help in that trade. Yes, we just talked about getting Laremy Tunsil, and that's awesome, but there should have been more O-line help coming through when you're dealing. Like, that's usually how trades work. Hey, I have this person. Oh, really? I need help here. Let's work it out. How did that not happen? Like, that there had to have been some culture issue that we're not reading about, or just some underlying deal that they just had to get Clowney out of town and he wasn't feeling it. Maybe you've read up on it more than I have, but I just don't understand how you get rid of Clowney and then not get quote unquote anything in return. And I'm, again, don't want to downplay Jacob Martin and Barcavius Mingo, but that's not fair value.
No,
I can't see it there. Yeah. So, Seattle is a big winner here.
Yeah. I'm completely on board with you on that. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay. So then more news. We got a big segment for this because there's been a lot of news since our last podcast. The Bills released LeSean McCoy, and then McCoy reunited with his former head coach, Andy Reid, in Kansas City. So this has been just hotly debated from a lot of people, especially Damian Williams owners, is where does Shady fit into this offense now?
Well, I just want to start off by saying the fact they brought in Shady to begin with shows that they never were fully sold on Damian Williams.
Oh, that hurts.
And his presence turns Kansas City's backfield into a split backfield. And, you know, Andy Reid said it himself that he sees them as co-starters, Shady and Williams. So, I mean, this is going to be I'm going to go out on a limb and say a 50-50 split. And I still like Darwin Thompson to flash at some point this season, too.
I mean, it wouldn't be me if I still wasn't pumping up Damian Williams here. Like, it's just been like I have had every single hurdle to possibly get. I'm never going to get the top of this mountain whatsoever. And it's, again, Damian Williams, if you own him, I would be real scared in Dynasty. And I would temper my expectations absolutely, because you're talking about a guy that does not have a ton of carries. He doesn't have, I don't think, what, more than 50 in a season or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Again, that is really, really, really bothersome, regardless if they're 1A and 1B. But remember, the Chiefs have been among the bottom third in the league in actually rushing attempts. So Damian Williams is still going to get his, on the back of his receiving prowess. Just, again, as an owner, you need to understand that this is not an auto start, whereas maybe where you draft him, you thought he was going to be. You're going to possibly get some stinkers from him throughout the season. And that's one of those reasons why a couple pods ago, when we were talking about confidence, that even without the knowledge of Shady there, and when we were thinking Carlos Hyde was there, this is just not a great situation whatsoever anymore. So temper your expectations. So unless you have anything to add, Ryan? Yes or no?
Let's move along.
All right. Well, then that's going to do it for the news for now.
All right. So for our next segment, Michael and I are going to bring up one matchup each that we're looking forward to this upcoming week. And we're going to get into the fantasy implications. And then we're going to get into our start sits of the week after that. So I'll go ahead and start. My match.
All right.
The matchup I'm looking forward to the most this week is not just because I'm a fan, but it's the Detroit Lions at the Arizona Cardinals. And
you sure it's not like a little bit because you're a fan?
All right, I'll be honest. It's largely because I'm a fan. But this game does have a lot of intrigue to it, though. We're gonna finally see Cliff Kingsbury's air raid, and
yeah,
you know, like if you think that what we saw in the preseason is an accurate depiction of this air raid scheme, you're wrong. Like, they're not going to give away the secrets when the games don't mean anything. It's going to look completely different on Sunday. And I don't even know where to start with fantasy implications here, because I have no idea what this offense is going to look like.
Well, go ahead and try.
You know, I don't hate Christian Kirk this week. I'm actually starting him in one of my leagues. I'm starting Larry Fitzgerald in a couple leagues also. David Johnson obviously has to be in your lineup. So yeah, I mean, I guess if you have the starters in Arizona, go ahead and roll with them, but I'm tempering my expectations for now. I'm just very interested to see what this offense is going to look like. Now on the Lions, I am so excited, you know, to see this. You know, I'm going to go ahead right now and say it. They're a dark horse playoff contender, and I think they're going to surprise people because, you know, there's a lot of people that are, they're going to be in the basement of the NFC North again. No, I don't think so. You know, we have...
Like the confidence.
We have a healthy Matthew Stafford handing off the ball to a healthy Kerryon Johnson, throwing passes to a healthy Marvin Jones. Not to mention they have Kenny Golladay and TJ Hockenson. You know, this is going to... they have a good offense, and their defense got better this offseason too with, you know, Trey Flowers. And I know Jared Davis is dealing with an injury right now, but he's a good linebacker. Jelani Tavai, I think he's going to be, you know, an impact player. And keep an eye on Amani Orourier too. I hope I didn't butcher that pronunciation, but he's a fifth rounder at cornerback. But I had a second round grade on him. He's a really solid corner, playmaker, and I think he could, you know, I think he'll end up being a solid starter by the end of the year. So, I'm excited to see how Detroit's defense looks, you know, starting off the year in the second year under Matt Patricia. And they also have the very unique position to be the first defense to play against that air raid. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach defending against that.
All right. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And I think that that's going to be really exciting just to watch the Cardinals, because I'm hoping with just such that turnover that they will be much better. The matchup that I think I'm most excited for from a fantasy perspective, because it was a toss-up for me, because I was leaning Rams and Panthers with just so many players on starting rosters, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs and the Jags, okay, from a fantasy standpoint.
It's a good one.
Because I want to make it clear, and I wonder how many people really, when you get in just kind of the... just the thought process of fantasy. How many people fall into the trap of thinking that week one is that's it. It's setting the tone for the entire year when, you know, of course this is a matchup game, right? So it's not always going to be the case, but I want to say if the Jags want to stay in this game against Kansas City, cause I'm predicting a Chiefs win. I think a lot of people are, that they're going to open up their playbook and just really be aggressive against that KC defense. And I would like to see, when you're aggressive, what wide receivers are involved, right? I think that my educated guess is Dede Westbrook. You know, Nick Foles loves his slot receivers. He's targeted, almost hyper-targeted Dede during the preseason. And, I mean, I think Dede's probably going to see around 125 targets this year. I am ready to also see kind of what a mostly healthy, hopefully healthy Leonard Fournette can do. And then, of course, like I said, Nick Foles in that starting role. This is something that you mentioned when we were kind of having this conversation before the pod. A little backstage pass here for your listeners. We were talking about, and Ryan mentioned that he was excited to see Tyreek Hill versus Jalen Ramsey, and so am I. As you noted, Hill was held to four catches for 61 yards last meeting. So I would love to see if we're going to see that same Hill, or does he get the better of the matchup? Because that could be, I mean, just anytime Jalen Ramsey gets matched up against a good wide receiver, I like to see it, but, I would love to have that turnaround for Tyreek Hill and see if he comes out, especially after all the off-season talk, if he comes out with a dud, man, that's going to be tough.
Oh yeah, I agree, but I'm actually putting my money on Ramsey on this one.
Okay. All right, well then I'll pick the opposite and go Tyreek Hill. We'll have to put like a sandwich on it or something like that.
Turkey.
Turkey sandwich. Full circle. Perfect. Now, those are the two fantasy matchups that we're looking forward to. Before we sign off, we want to get you some even more actionable fantasy advice that you can use right now. So each of us, Ryan and I, are going to give you one start and one sit at each position. We're really going to try not to name the obvious. Like, we're not going to go to like the Saquon Barkley's or the Christian McCaffrey's. These are just really it's about our confidence of maybe not borderline players, but again, players that we're just very confident in, and we want to let you know where our conviction lies. So we're going to start with QB. We're both going to hit a start, and we're both going to hit a sit. So, Ryan, why don't you start us off with QB starts?
All right, I'm going to kick it off with Carson Wentz. And just as a side note, all the players I'm including in my start sits, I'm either starting or sitting in one of my own fantasy leagues. So you know,
not just talking, you are actually doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Love it. Okay.
So, yeah, I want to kick off with Carson Wentz. Wentz has been money against the Redskins since 2017. And I acknowledge this might be a living obvious choice, but I promise I'll make up for it on my wide receiver take in a few minutes. But this is the perfect matchup for Wentz week one. You know, he had an injury riddle 2018. He wasn't quite the same quarterback, but this is a great matchup against just an okay defense. It's I predict he's gonna throw all over them. And yeah. Carson Wentz.
Just a an embarrassment of riches sometimes for the Eagles in terms of offensive players at every position. I think you got to like that against.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably. I don't want to say it's a terrible defense. I mean, Josh Norman's kind of getting up there in age. Ryan Kerrigan's still pretty decent, but I don't know. I don't know that I would say that's obvious. I think that that's you picking a good start. So that's my take on it.
All right.
I'm gonna go with Lamar Jackson, somebody that I feel like is drafted a little bit later in redraft. You're probably starting him in Superflex. You want those rushing yards, right? Now I'm saying I'm starting him because it's Miami, and I will say Baltimore wasn't messing around when you said this a little bit ago in a couple pods, and I'm gonna repeat you, is when they really started this offseason with the plan to get Jackson the ball, this team is going to run and run a lot, whether it's with Mark Ingram, definitely with its Jackson. I think that he spent a lot of this offseason really working on his, passes. He wouldn't be a first-round pick if he didn't have an NFL arm. I know that you could argue like Tim Tebow had an NFL arm, but this is going to be a player that he might not throw for a ton of yards, but I still think that he will surprise people. And then he'll probably end up rushing for something disgusting, like 1,000 yards this year. And he kicks that campaign off against the Dolphins. Miami's not good. I would just start Lamar Jackson with confidence here.
I think that's a good take.
So our QB sits. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Let's keep it moving.
All right. I'm sitting Dak Prescott.
What?
Yeah. You know, I like Dak this year. I think this could be the best season of his career so far, but, so far in his career, the first 3 years, in the first matchup against the Giants of each season, his average stat line has been 218 passing yards for less than a whole passing touchdown.
Really?
Yes. And
you would not think that at all. I did not do the research like you did, but okay.
Yeah, and his rushing totals in those games weren't really even enough to note. So in contrast, though, Prescott's second game of the year against the Giants, his career average stat line in that game is 295 yards for 2.7 touchdowns and a little less than one interception. So, yeah, I'm sitting Dak Prescott this week against the New York Giants, but next time they play, he's absolutely going to be in my lineup.
Little bit different of a defense with the Giants. I mean, some players have taken off, but interesting. I mean, that is a primetime sit, I would say, whether Zeke plays or not. I'm going to go crazy, and this is what I told you, that Nick is probably going to be extremely upset with me, is I'm sitting Cam Newton here. I would say find another option, and if you have one, go with it. As Nick said, you know, he is ready, but I just don't think that he's going to light it up against the Rams. Like, I could totally see just him getting pressured from that defensive line and Aaron Donald, and when Cam, gets pushed around early, he always slumps. And I'm just saying, for the whole season, I like Cam, but the Rams are going to be well prepared. I like a lot of players on the Panthers, but find another option against a stout Rams defense here.
Yeah, this kind of puts me in a tough spot, actually, because in one league I have Dak and Cam as my quarterbacks.
So what are you gonna do? Are you gonna listen to yourself, or are you gonna listen to me?
I'm gonna flip a quarter. That's what's gonna happen.
Okay.
So
sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah, gotta leave some things to chance sometimes. So we're gonna keep it rolling to running backs. I'm starting Mark Ingram this week, and similar logic, Michael, to why you picked Lamar Jackson. Miami's defense just isn't very good, and I think Baltimore is going to be firmly in control of this one, and that's going to equal a lot of carries for Mark Ingram. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. I think he can have a big game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like whenever we go through these start sits, it's not like we're playing Survivor here where it's like we pick somebody and we won't pick them the rest of the year. But it is good to be able to look through, again, some of the players that you might be iffy on or worried about, or just, again, that they're not auto starts, right? So I think Mark Ingram is, again, definitely in your lineup, and he's definitely going to roll. By that same logic, I'm going with Tevin Coleman this week. I think with Jerick McKinnon, of course, on IR, I think Coleman is... And I would love to look at, this is just one of those that I want to look at either next pod or if I have to put it up on Twitter or not, that I think he's going to be a top 10 back against Tampa Bay. Matt Breida will be involved, but the Bucs D was pretty bad last year. I don't see a ton of improvements. I am not a fan of Jimmy Garoppolo really at all. Some of his wide receivers are going to really have to bail him out. And, you know, you work that Shanahan offense and just let him go. George Kittle did it last year, but I think Tevin Coleman is going to just rule the ground in this game. So Tevin Coleman is my running back start. Let's get into running back sits. Who is your sit for this week in week one?
I'm sitting Kenyon Drake this week. He's just getting over a foot injury. And while reports out of Miami have been positive, the matchup against Baltimore is bad. It's that Baltimore, I don't care how many defensive players they've lost, they're always going to field a good defense. And, you know, I like Drake overall this year, but this week I'm just staying away from it.
Deep leagues, then. Are you starting any of the Miami running backs, whether it's Drake or Bellage?
Yeah, in a deep league, you know, 14 team, as a flex, yeah, I'll start Drake.
Probably, like, if you're in one of those dynasties that JJ loves where you're looking at like two running backs, three wide receivers, four flexes.
Oh yeah.
15 bench. Yeah.
And that, you have to, yeah. In that situation, it's a no brainer. Start both of them.
Okay. My sit for running back is a little odd, but let's hit my explanation really quickly. I'm sitting Duke Johnson. Okay. Ooh. The Saints covered pass catching backs well last year. All right. Okay. I really want to see what his role is before I throw him out there. Yes, he's listed at the top of the depth chart, and I've said I've been a big depth chart proponent and, you know, try to be as solid as I can and consistent there. But I mean, I am just stuck when it comes to Duke Johnson. Again, with the offensive line, now you've got Hopkins, a wide receiver core of Fuller, and then now Stills, whether Cootie plays or not. If they get to the goal line, okay, I'm still thinking that Carlos Hyde is going to get those 1 or 2 yard carries, or heaven forbid Deshaun Watson doesn't run it in himself, which he very well could possibly do. Just that role to me of Duke Johnson between the tens is just not enough to start against a team like New Orleans here. So I'm sitting Duke Johnson.
I have to agree with you on that.
Boom. Good. Next time you got to get really angry and be like, hell no, I love Duke Johnson. All right. Anyways, go to your wide receiver start.
All right. So I have a little bit of this is if you're feeling brave kind of
good
player here.
I am. I'm feeling very brave when I'm playing fantasy.
So I'm going to go with Jamison Crowder. You know, Robbie Anderson has a date with Tre'Davious White. Chris Herndon suspended. And Le'Veon Bell can't receive all of Sam Darnold's targets. So
he can.
is he? He's going to 30 targets for Lev Bell. Chalk it up. It's going to happen.
Right. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That'd be something. But
not gonna happen. You're right. Okay.
So Darnold and Crowder, they showed some, you know, pretty nice chemistry in the preseason. And, you know, Crowder, he's a savvy vet, good slot receiver. And I think that Darnold will lean on him as a safety blanket of sorts in this game and throughout the season. But, yeah, week one, if you're feeling brave, take a shot on Jamison Crowder, because there's bound to be some offensive production in this game. And, yeah, he's the jet in the best position to make some noise.
No, I love that. Nothing helps a younger quarterback than a safety blanket. And now him with that acquisition on the team, Robbie Anderson hurting a little bit, Le'Veon Bell there. I feel like he's got some options. My wide receiver start, I'm going Kenny Golladay. No Patrick Peterson for Arizona. Stafford, as you mentioned, looking at a bounce back. Mm-hmm. I don't have much to say here other than this feels like a no-brainer here.
Yeah, without question.
So then let's jump into wide receiver sits then. So, you know what? Actually, before we do that, let's just do a quick recap.
All right.
We've got... you did quarterback starts, Carson Wentz. I named Lamar Jackson. For QB sits, you sat Dak Prescott, and I sat Cam Newton. Can you keep going with the running backs and wide receivers here?
Yeah, running backs, I'm starting Mark Ingram. Michael's starting Tevin Coleman. Running back sits, I am sitting Kenyon Drake. Michael is sitting Duke Johnson. At wide receiver, I'm starting Jamison Crowder, Michael, Kenny Golladay, and going into wide receiver sits, kicking off with Corey Davis. Yeah, okay. I've talked about Corey Davis. I like him this year. I think he's a good player, but he faces off with Denzel Ward. And that's just a really, really unfortunate draw week one for a wide receiver who has struggled in the past. So I'm avoiding Corey Davis this week, and you know, I'll look to him perhaps week two.
Okay. You mentioned it earlier when you were talking about Jamison Crowder. I'm sitting Robbie Anderson. As you said, I'm a little worried about Tre'Davious White and the fact that Anderson's having that calf trouble. So, you know, he's a wide receiver. He could be a wide receiver up to two this year. You know, maybe if you start three wide receivers, maybe a great flex option, but not this week. So I'm going to keep him on the bench. We've got, so let's get into tight ends now.
Our tight ends. I'm going to start Delanie Walker. You know, Corey Davis, like I said, he's going to have his hands full with Denzel Ward. And then, you know, whoever's lined up as the receiver two for Tennessee, Greedy Williams is going to be, you know, occupying him. I think that Marcus Mariota is going to be psyched to have his safety blanket back in Delanie Walker, and that he's going to rely upon Walker heavily in this game against the Browns.
Yeah, I see it. That's going to be huge for Mariota. I think that he might take a little bit of a step up just by, again, just having that security there. I'm going to go with Jared Cook. The Texans did not cover the tight ends well last year, and I don't think that anything in that Clowney trade is really going to help them really do that. Again, Drew Brees is really going to excel having a weapon at tight end, so I would definitely say fire up Jared Cook in week one. So then we've got to finish this up here with our tight end sits.
All right, week one, I'm sitting Trey Burton, and he's currently day-to-day with a minor groin injury, and this, of course, after he recently returned to action after a, I can't pronounce that word, so I'm just going to call it a sports hernia. I'm sorry, Nick.
Yeah, oh my God. It's going to be so mad. Yeah, as soon as he leaves, we just go, sports hernia, sports hernia, sports hernia.
Sports hernia. All right. So, yeah, I'm gonna hold Burton out for the first couple weeks at least until I know where he's at. And, you know, I actually saw something earlier. I'm not sure on the truth of this, but he might not even play very much in this first game. So I think it's a safe sit.
We have to be careful. you know, we have to be careful because A, we want him to come back.
Yes.
And B, I feel like if we say sports hernia three times like Beetlejuice, he'll just magically appear and start yelling at us. So we've got to watch ourselves. I think my sit of the week is fairly obvious, but if you were thinking about starting Jordan Reed, just don't. The Eagles were also good against the tight end. I'm down on all Redskins in general for this week. Maybe one receiver, maybe Darius Geis gets in on some garbage touchdown. It just feels definitely like a weaker start, just at the position. And, you know, he still has those concussion issues. So if you were, like I said, if you were even thinking about it, don't. Not a, a good idea. I wanted to kind of do a recap as we were in the middle of that, just to keep that in your head. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it really quickly here just to kind of do another recap. Again, we're starting Carson Wentz and Lamar Jackson. We're sitting Dak Prescott and Cam Newton. We're starting from the running backs, Mark Ingram and Tevin Coleman. We are saying to sit Kenyon Drake and Duke Johnson. For our wide receivers, would you like to take over here, Ryan, and just finish us out there?
Not a problem. We're starting Jameson Crowder and Kenny Golladay, sitting Corey Davis and Robbie Anderson. At tight end, we're starting Delanie Walker and Jared Cook, and we're sitting Trey Burton and Jordan Reed.
All right, my man, that's going to do it for us. What a fantastic episode. We, like I said, are so close to the start of the NFL season. We're going to be bringing you at least an episode that we're going to try to record every Tuesday night so we can have it up by Wednesday morning so that you can listen before the Thursday games. So we'll hope you'll just go through the 2019 NFL season with us as we continue to just bring you the latest fantasy news and advice. We'll have hopefully everybody back next week, and we'll see you then to recap some week one.
Catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Ride or Dynasty podcast. If you have enjoyed the pod, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Follow the guys on Twitter at Ride or Dynasty. You can follow JJ at JJ Winner. Ryan is at BixPixFFB. And Michael is at Michael S. Kloss. Check out our website, rideordynasty.com. And remember, we have your back.
Your reputation far exceeds your skills, Mammy.